Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Will, and thanks for joining us here today on this fine Wednesday morning, June 15th, 2005, 7 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, and quite a bit of stuff going on in the world. Of course, we just bombarded you with a significant amount of news, and now we're going to bring you some more, courtesy of our guest, who has an inordinate amount of information on something that maybe you're only hearing about for the first time. Now, I know a lot of you out there are more intelligent than to buy into the hype involving celebrities, involving Hollywood and promotions and publicity and blah, 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 blah. However, when things start creeping into the mainstream that were previously sort of kept on the fringe, I think it's time to start talking about this, because quite simply this, a lot of you out there know about the truth, and you know that a lot of the truth is being kept from us. You also know that some of the things that do get through are definitively lies designed to brainwash people and so on and so forth. When you have high-profile celebrities speaking out on different issues, it's time to start taking note, and I'll tell you why. What's happening with it with regards to their endorsements and so on and so forth. We saw a very high-profile brawl come down between Bill O'Reilly and George Clooney over the September 11th donations. A lot of people were donating money, to the Red Cross in particular, and there were some accounting issues, some claims that the Red Cross did not pay the money out fast enough. And Bill O'Reilly said that George Clooney, because he used his celebrity to get people to contribute, that George Clooney should also use his fame to hold some accountability to the people involved. And anyway, those two got into it and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we saw a whole lot of accounting errors and dropped balls as far as the distribution of the money for the September 11th victims. Well, the same thing happened with the tsunami relief. You may remember, again, the celebrities came out in full force telling you, please give money. Look at these poor kids who have been washed away, and they don't have any homes, and they don't have any clothes, and they don't have any power or any water, and so on and so forth. So, you know, a lot of people did the same thing. Bill Clinton, of course, and George Bush Sr., buddy-buddy now, riding around on Air Force One, telling people, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, trying to get people doing commercials, you all saw them, together, appearing at the Super Bowl together, getting people to contribute money. Well, guess what? A lot of money hasn't gone where it's supposed to go. And a lot of people are saying, what happened to the money? What happened to the money? Well, my question would be, what happened to the big celebrities who are out there endorsing something that either A, they could care less if it works, B, they actually know nothing about the thing that they're endorsing, or C, they're actively involved in the deception in order to make some money or you know, deceive some people. And I think that's the case with Scientology. Scientology, for the most part, is actively promoted by various celebrities. Now, a celebrity in this day and age is so, quote-unquote, interesting that we have to know every single detail about their personal life. You know, what kind of clothes they wear, where they shop, what they eat, what they buy, where they live, where they sleep, where they work out, who they're sleeping with, you know, and so on and so forth. We have to know every single detail of someone's life to the point where a celebrity's religious, and I use that term extremely loosely, religious affiliation is usually documented to a point, but somewhat overlooked, because it's not the most interesting thing to the American public, who just feeds on the BS fodder that comes out of the celebrities' worlds. And you know, most of the celebrities are not, they don't enjoy it, and I applaud them for not enjoying it, and I sympathize with them for being followed around and tracked and stalked and all that other stuff. When the celebrities, however, are actively getting on all the big media outlets to promote not just their films, which, you know, they're required to do, but they start promoting their relationships, that raises some eyebrows. But when they start promoting their relationships and their religion, and the target of their relationship is also been welcomed into the fold, if you will, we got to start taking notice, folks, because Tom Cruise carries a lot of weight with a lot of idiots, and there are a lot of idiots. So we're going to talk about Scientology with our guest, Arnie Lerma, when we return with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
There's a problem with every sign, bargain buildings, weights and pulleys, feathers hit the ground before the weight can leave the air. Buy the sky and sell the sky and
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Will, and glad to have you with us here today. As always, our website is www.franklyspeakingradio.com. As soon as our webmaster updates it, you'll see a link to our guest website. We'll be taking calls, too. Maybe you want to know a little bit about this cult that's out there and subverting things behind the scenes, just like what we would deem a secret society. Although this one, not so secret, but very little known as far as exposed information. And our guest is doing quite a bit to do that single-handedly. Our phone number when you want to ask your questions is 1-800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Now, we're going to have our guest on here for the next 3 hours, and we're thrilled that he's agreed to do so much time with us here today. His website, www.lermanet.com, LERMANET.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, Arnie Lerma. Arnie, great to have you with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Well, I've interviewed you before, and we just had such a great time sort of getting the truth out there about this this cult. And I'm telling you, even the people who are in cults would call Scientology a cult. So, you know, it's kind of madness. Give us a little bit of your background, if you would.
When I was 16 or 17, I became convinced, because my mother was involved, that L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, was both a Navy war hero and a nuclear physicist. At that time in the 60s, who was I to question a nuclear physicist? It turns out both of those claims are lies, which pretty much is the pattern of most everything else Scientology comes up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I now have his entire Navy record online with the help of a senator here in Virginia, and his academic record is online, and he took one course in atomic theory and got an F, failed it, and that is his claim to be a nuclear physicist.
How about that?
And his Navy, his war record states, unfit to command.
Wow.
I mean, that's fairly heavy language.
Yeah, and it doesn't really leave a whole lot of room for interpretation, does it?
No, but it fooled me. I mean, back then there was no internet. I mean, I ended up giving them 10 years of my life because I wanted to make this a better world. You know, the Vietnam War was going on, and, you know, it was the 60s. I mean, I'd been on the Pentagon steps protesting the war and got tear gassed way back when. And, I thought that Scientology might be a way to make this a better world. They sure make a lot of promises.
They do. They do. We're going to get into a lot of this.
In hindsight, the promises they make are frighteningly similar to the promises made in pre-World War II Germany. That's my introduction. How's that?
Perfect. That's excellent. Well, you're absolutely right. And we're going to get into a lot of these things, these claims. Now, let's talk about it. So you had heard about L. Ron Hubbard from family. Now Scientology, they have, I presume, these just like a church or a center, and you go in and they talk to you. Is that about how it works?
Well, yeah. I call them indoctrination facilities. They call them a church as part of their effort to cloak their fraud in religiosity in order to escape government and public scrutiny.
And, of course, tax exempt.
I was a member working for them back in 1969 in Washington, D.C., and so what I originally got involved in was, in fact, claimed to be an applied philosophy based on science. The FDA had initiated legal action against their use of their device called an e-meter, which they use as a lie detector, which passes a small trickle of electricity through your body to take measurements of your body's resistance. And in order to ensure that they would be able to use that device in their, you know, therapy, a cross was dragged through the front door. And suddenly, a file cabinet that used to be called folder administration became called confessional formulary. and the religious cloaking device was invoked, and the scam kept going.
Mm.
They made it through that lawsuit.
That's amazing. Now, obviously, you would think that the religious terminology would also tie in with the 501c3 tax-exempt status, correct?
Oh, it's a complete contrivance.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the feds wanted church services and, you know, people to wear collars, and, you know, they wanted to look like a church. And so that's what they did. They told their therapists to start wearing collars, and they put a cross on the front. Interestingly enough, the cross that they chose to put on the front is uncannily similar to the cross used by Aleister Crowley.
That's amazing. Of course, he being the
Satanist Aleister Crowley.
That's right. That's amazing. Now, does Scientology, presumably with the high-profile clientele, if that's what I could call them, they make a lot of money, I would presume.
Well, that is their religion. I mean,
yeah.
You know, their god is money. It's all about getting a few more rubes into the door so they can be fleeced by the lies and the false promises. Every action they take towards ex-members and towards anyone trying to speak out is in pursuit of silence.
Mm-hmm.
They won't tolerate criticism well. Time Magazine, in their 1991, cover story, the thriving cult of money and greed, or power and greed, ended up getting sued by Scientology for libel, and won that case. However, they won the case, but ended up spending $7.5 million defending it. The chief federal judge in the New York district that was running that, that the case was under, was noted by the appellate court as being convinced that Scientology was a cult, not a church.
Wow. Now, does that have any sort of legal
ramifications? I've been doing
this for
a while. I mean, I've been trying to connect the dots and figure out how the thing actually works and explaining it all different ways to the public.
Does the cult terminology...
And then they ended up suing me and spending $1.7 million in pursuit of silence to keep you from ever being able to hear this voice on the radio.
And your website as well, I guess they've gone after.
Well, I started the website after the lawsuit was over. And the only trouble we've had on the website is the occasional, denial of service attack to the ISP or servers that are running the site so that people can't get to it, which I associate to with when we'll run an advertisement. We had a DOS attack when we ran an ad on thehill.com, and we had one just a few days ago. I mean, proving that it was Scientology is almost impossible. I'm expecting one this morning, but I haven't heard any news.
Wonderful. Well, do you mind if we get into some news here, since Scientology is making the headlines, courtesy of
Tom? Absolutely.
Let's do it. I've got a couple in front of me here, folks. I'll try to keep them as chronological as possible. New York Times, June 1st. Just months into his tenure as chairman of Paramount, Brad Grey is facing the sort of decision that makes Hollywood executives quiver, whether to proceed with production of the hugely expensive Mission Impossible 3, even as its star, Tom Cruise, is puzzling associates and members of the public with his behavior while promoting another Paramount venture, War of the Worlds. While promoting that film over the last several weeks, Mr. Cruise engaged in increasingly public discussion of his religion, Scientology. Then he set tongues wagging in Hollywood and elsewhere with an hour-long appearance on the May 23rd Oprah show, during which he jumped around the set, hopped onto a couch, fell rapturously to one knee, and repeatedly professed his love for his new girlfriend, actress Katie Holmes. Many Hollywood stars are involved with the Church of Scientology, and there's nothing particularly unusual about trumpeting a new love. But some executives at Paramount and DreamWorks have voiced concerns that fans were becoming distracted from the movie, which cost some $130 million to produce. Mr. Cruise's recent comments and behavior have been fodder for internet bloggers, radio talk show hosts, late-night comedians, who, among other things, have questioned whether the new love affair with Ms. Holmes was a publicity stunt. However, within Hollywood, the discussion among agents, producers, studio executives, and other actors has been focused on whether Hollywood's biggest box office star was doing long-term harm to his career. And there was sincere confusion over what Mr. Cruise, a 20-year veteran of the publicity machine, had in mind with his recent public appearances and statements. Mr. Cruise's spokeswoman, his sister, Leanne DeVette, said she had not heard anything negative after the Oprah appearance. Still, there have been other publicity hiccups related to Mr. Cruise's increasingly public association with Scientology, the religion founded by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard. In a series of television interviews on Access Hollywood last week, the star spoke at length about his passion for Scientology, at one point criticizing Brooke Shields for taking antidepressants. Scientology, it says, considers modern psychiatry and its medications to be harmful. In an interview with the German magazine Der Spiegel in April, Mr. Cruise got into a heated exchange with an interviewer who called Scientology a pseudoscience after the star said he had personally, quote, helped hundreds of people get off drugs, end quote. Mr. Spielberg was present at the interview and found himself defending Mr. Cruise's dedication to Scientology by comparing it to his work for the Shoah Foundation, which promotes education about the Holocaust. God. So now Scientology, Tom Cruise's work, is equivalent to Steven Spielberg's work with educating people about the Holocaust. It says a DreamWorks executive called the exchange unfortunate. Stay with us, folks. We'll take a quick break. Come right back. More news and more from our guest today, Arnie Lerma. Check out his website, lermanet.com. A huge amount of information there. We'll be right back after this. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Wednesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan, glad to have you with us here today. Our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, and the phone number, of course, is 1-800-313-9443. I suppose heard planet-wide means that our alien friends from the Scientology cult can maybe even listen to the show. Arnie Lerma, our guest today, is doing wonderful, heroic work, folks, in exposing Scientology for what it is. Arnie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We still got some more stories here. It says one Der Spiegel interviewer, Lars Olav Beer, said he was given a tour of Scientology's Celebrity Center before the interview. Ms. DeVette said Mr. Cruise talked about Scientology simply to answer his questions. She observed, quote, Scientology did not come up on Oprah. It's a matter of what's being asked. He's not talking about it any more than he has in the past, end quote. Mr. Cruise's insistence on making his religion a prominent part of his current work has raised some resistance in Hollywood. Some executives from the United International Pictures, which is releasing War of the Worlds overseas, complained earlier about being asked to take a four-hour tour of Scientology facilities in Los Angeles in January. Mr. Cruise's insistence on having a Scientology tent on the set of War of the Worlds created a conflict at Universal, where the movie was being shot, said two executives. The executives, who asked not to be identified to protect industry relationships, said that Mr. Cruise, his agent Kevin Huvane, and Mr. Spielberg all had to appeal personally to the president of Universal Studios, Ron Meyer, for the tent to be permitted on the studio lot where no solicitation is allowed. The studio required that the tent not be used for recruitment purposes, they said, and a studio spokesman declined to comment for the story. Arnie, before we move on to the next story, your thoughts on that one?
Well, they're pushing their celebrities desperately because, in my opinion, Scientology is contracting and growing smaller day by day. They're just trying to stay alive. They're trying to reach children. And using a celebrity with a pretty face is a way to get kids in. That's who it appeals to. Yeah. It doesn't appeal to adults so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it will fool a kid and make a kid think that maybe there's something there. Well, Tom Cruise is involved.
Yeah.
There must be something there.
Absolutely.
But there really isn't.
We've got this one here. This is from contactmusic.com from June 3rd. It says, actress Brooke Shields and Tom Cruise's ongoing feud has intensified after the Suddenly Susan star mocked the 16-year age gap between the actor and his new girlfriend, Katie Holmes. Cruise, who has helped people fight drug addictions through his controversial Scientology religion, I want proof of that, by the way, recently
the drug addiction claim is just a complete fabrication.
Okay.
Their Narcanon thing does not work.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they were behind that.
It's not even worthy of scientific trials.
Wow. I did not know they were behind that. Well, we need to talk about that.
Narcanon?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Narconon is just an on-ramp to the Scientology scam.
No kidding.
I mean, Hubbard has internal written policies that state, identify problems in society and things that are unpopular, and then attack those.
Ah.
And find what is considered a popular effort and support those efforts just to build public support. It is completely and utterly a contrivance.
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. Let me, we'll finish this one up.
Brooke Shields. I mean, thank you, Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
I mean, just for having the chutzpah to stand up.
Yeah. It says Cruz recently attacked Shields for becoming dependent on antidepressant Paxil following the birth of her daughter, Rowan. Shields has continued her war of words against Cruz following his quote unquote dangerous comments by offering him a ticket so he can take Holmes to see her hit London musical Chicago. She says, quote, if he wants to go see Chicago, I've left him two tickets. One adult and one child, end quote. The actress recently took a swipe at Cruz's religious beliefs by saying she wouldn't, quote, take advice from someone who devotes his life to aliens.
Well, the judge in my case came out with a quote in her final memorandum opinion that caused the Scientologists to file an emergency motion to have the judge's final opinion sealed. Of course, the judge quickly unsealed it when she came back from a few days off that she took after dealing with this case. But the quote in question was this one. The dispute in this case surrounds Lerma's acquisition and publication on the Internet of texts that the Church of Scientology considers sacred and protects heavily from unauthorized disclosure. Founded by L. Ron Hubbard, the Scientology religion attempts to explain the origin of negative spiritual forces in the world and advances techniques for improving one's own spiritual well-being. Scientologists believe that most human problems can be traced to lingering spirits of an extraterrestrial people massacred by their ruler Xenu, that's X-E-N-U, over 75 million years ago. These spirits attach themselves by clusters to individuals in the contemporary world, causing spiritual harm and negatively influencing the lives of their hosts. End quote. That's a U.S. federal judge speaking.
There you go, folks. Let me get this story is from the New York Post, June 6th. It says, what is going on with Katie Holmes? Tom Cruise seems to be exerting more control over his fiancée's career. And that's like sort of in question marks there, fiance, meaning. Holmes, who has been spending a lot of time at the Scientology Center in Los Angeles, showed up at the junket for Batman Begins at the Regent Beverly Wilshire with, quote, an entourage of Scientologists in tow, end quote. This is according to one of their spies, who went on to say, at lunch, Tom came over after he left his sister and publicist, Leanne DeVette, sat in on all of Katie Holmes's interviews. The producers and Warner Brothers are freaking out. They're worried that Tom's bad PR is going to rub off, end quote. Katie Holmes' own PR man was also at the interviews, but DeVette had, quote-unquote, control. It's getting weird, end quote. Neither DeVette nor Holmes' rep returned calls. A rep for Warner Brothers declined to comment. Stay with us, folks. We'll come right back with more from our guest, Arnie Lerma, and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Good morning, my friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome aboard our guest today. His website is lermanet.com. Please welcome back to the show, Arnie Lerma. Arnie, welcome, and thank you again for your time. So that last story talks about Katie Holmes being followed around by Scientologist Tom Cruise, her Scientologist boyfriend slash fiancé, handling all her publicity. Basically, folks, what we're showing here in these stories is the submersion into a sort of celebrity-oriented cult type of thing. This one just came out Monday from the Associated Press. Katie Holmes says she's embracing Scientology, the religion of her boyfriend, Tom Cruise. Holmes was asked if she's taking lessons in the Church of Scientology, a religion founded by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard. She said, quote, yes, I am, and I'm really excited about it. It says the 26-year-old actress and Cruise went public with their romance in April. She said she grew up with a picture of Tom Cruise on her bedroom wall and said she grew up wanting to marry him, saying, quote, "We all keep dreaming, and luckily dreams come true," end quote. Tom Cruise previously married to Mimi Rogers and Nicole Kidman and dated Penelope Cruz for several years. So it almost would seem like Tom Cruise has been making the rounds trying to indoctrinate high-profile or up-and-coming celebrities, if you will, into this thing, as you had said, Arnie, to sort of get new blood into it. I remember Nicole Kidman making a comment about it, saying that she went back to Catholicism because Scientology was basically a bunch of weirdos.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Katie right now is being surrounded by Scientologists. Everything she perceives around her is contrived. They will end up isolating these celebrities from the real world and surround them with their own staff members who also believe in, well, they might not know it now. The lower level people don't know about Xenu. I mean, about the alien story.
Right.
That's the big secret. For $300,000, you get to find that secret out.
Wow. How much do you charge, incidentally, to reveal that secret?
It's typically, you know, about $300,000 to get to the level that you find out about Xenu and the space aliens infesting your body.
I've got this story here, which confirms what you just said here. This one, folks, came out, I assume today, may have been yesterday, at thesun.co.uk. Here's what it says. Tom Cruise has hired a woman Scientology minder for girlfriend Katie Holmes as she promotes her film Batman Begins. Tom, 42, is said to insist that Jessica Rodriguez go everywhere with Katie, age 26, who is converting to the religious cult. But sources say she, meaning Jessica Rodriguez, the Scientology minder, disrupts interviews and interferes with the actress's schedule. One source said, quote, "Tom pays Jessica to keep Katie on the path," quote unquote. She goes everywhere. She says, quote, "I'm Katie's new best friend," end quote. But she's only known Katie for 6 weeks. Warner Brother bosses deny any, quote unquote, discord. So right there.
Right. No, this is just, yeah, the show must go on.
It's amazing, because what we do see here in a lot of these cults is the same sort of thing, Arnie. The isolation of anyone who could talk sense into you, the isolation of family, friends, people who could possibly have any sway over you whatsoever, and all of a sudden you're welcomed into a world of new friends, a new family, and new possibilities, and so on and so forth.
If I could get Tom Cruise up here in my office with the documents that I have for 3 hours alone, I'm pretty sure he would stop being a Scientologist and have something very new to say publicly.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I've got this story here from the June 17th issue of Entertainment Weekly, in which Tom Cruise was asked a number of questions that involved Scientology, and he responded, and it would seem, as you just stated here, that Tom has no idea what he's talking about, but is rather doing what so many other people do in so many other areas of their experience, which is parrot some crap they heard without actually doing any research. Here is the portion of the interview here. Entertainment Weekly says, "Your comments about antidepressants on Access Hollywood, do you think going after Brooke Shields for her book about postpartum depression may have made the argument a little too personal?" Tom Cruise responds, quote, "It's not a matter of making it personal. I care about Brooke. I want to see her do well. I think she's really talented, but she's misinformed. And you know, from that Access Hollywood interview, I've gotten over 154,000 responses from people thanking me. People go for help, but their lives don't get any better because of these drugs. They get worse. They feel numb, and they're told that's a good thing. It's becoming like Huxley's Brave New World. It's like what the English did to China with opium in the 19th century. How is this any different? It's how you degrade a society by drugging the piss out of it." So, just to pause here with a personal interjection, I tend to agree for the most part. I do think that they have a miracle drug or vaccine for just about everything, and I think that's a horrible idea. But Tom Cruise sort of, like as you had said, jumping on the popular bandwagon to fight for people's rights to be drug-free, it's got a darker twist to it. Entertainment Weekly says... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Entertainment Weekly says, quote, "You are aware of that your views about psychiatry come across as pretty radical to a lot of people." Cruise responds, quote, In the 1980s, you were supposed to say no to drugs, but when I say no to drugs, I'm a radical. He's against drugs. He's a radical. He's against electroshock treatments. He's a radical. It's absurd," he says. Entertainment Weekly...
Well, it's... A big secret in Scientology that isn't well known is the fact that their E-meter, the little device that they have you hold when you're getting your therapy gives you a little tickle of electricity itself. And it gives you enough electricity to perhaps induce a physiological response from a human body that includes the release of the body's own painkillers called endorphins, which in fact bind at the same receptors in the brain as morphine.
Ah. That's funny to me because, you know, if he's talking about Brooke Shields taking Paxil, where did he just pull this electroshock treatment out? You know, where did he pull that from? Who's accused him?
Well, no, that's part of Hubbard's dogma.
Right.
Hubbard, in my opinion, Hubbard stole the ideas that he used for his book Dianetics from a paper written by a psychiatrist named William Sargent, S-A-R-G-A-N-T, who was a clinician who tried, who developed techniques for treating shell-shocked soldiers reeling from Rommel's assaults in North Africa. Dianetics is very similar to something called aberrative therapy, which does sort of work, but as William Sargent observed, it takes a long time to train somebody to do it, and it takes a long time to get a person through the routines. And they didn't have a lot of time during that part of World War II. They needed to have soldiers able and willing to continue fighting. And based on the needs of fighting a war, William Sargent, pioneered shock therapies. And shock therapies aren't just running electricity through you, all right, to fry you as it is portrayed by Scientology. They're anything like, you know, an ice water dip, insulin shock, electroshock, or for me, it was skydiving. For me, that was my shock therapy. That was one of the reasons I woke up and was able to get out of the Scientology mindset. You follow?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a shock to the system or to the psyche in some capacity.
Right.
Okay.
And which sort of causes a mental reboot. Now, had we tried to use aberrative therapy in World War II to treat soldiers, we might have lost the war. So you could say that shock therapy, which is demonized by Hubbard, was, shock therapy might have helped, you know, might be why we won World War II.
That's interesting. Here we've got Entertainment Weekly Respond saying, quote, yeah, but Scientology textbooks sometimes refer to psychiatry as a quote-unquote Nazi science. And Tom Cruise responds, saying, quote, well, look at history. Jung was an editor for the Nazi papers during World War II. And then there's a big sort of indentation there with Entertainment Weekly including this side note, saying, according to Aria Maidenbaum, the director of the New York Center for Jungian Studies, this is not true. And then close parenthesis. Tom Cruise continues.
The demonization of psychiatry is there for two reasons. One reason is to make sure that Tom Cruise never reads William Sargent's book, Battle for the Mind. If he read it, and if he also read Hubbard's Dianetics, he would see that Hubbard lifted all those ideas from William Sargent and then flipped a lot of them upside down.
I see. Okay.
You know, inverted them, inverted their intent.
Tom Cruise, go ahead.
I mean, the demonization of psychiatry is just to make sure that his own members do not find out that there's nothing new in Dianetics or Scientology. He lifted it from psychiatry, period. The other reason that they demonize psychiatry is from what Eric Hoffer writes in his book True Believer.
Mm-hmm.
All mass movements need to have a tangible enemy as well as an intangible enemy. Hitler used the Jews. Scientology uses psychiatry. It's just one of the necessary things that to keep members' attention focused elsewhere so they don't get focused on the fallacies that they're being presented.
I gotcha. Well, Tom Cruise continues.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Tom Cruise continues to that response, to that question, excuse me, saying, look at the experimentation the Nazis did with electric shock and drugging. Look at the drug methadone. That was originally called adolafine. It was named after Adolf Hitler. And then, of course, EW chimes in here and says, according to the Dictionary of Drugs and Medications, among other sources, this is an urban legend. So, Tom Cruise, that's basically my summary of his news stories and whatnot. But it does appear that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and yet he is a good representative for them because, for some reason, people just love Tom Cruise. And this is really the danger because, as we've seen, two elements here. Number one, high-profile celebrity using their influence, using their fame, to speak about something that is inherently a cult by every definition of the word, even according to federal judges in this country. We also are seeing the way that influence is being exerted upon a younger generation, such as the Katie Holmes type person, who has idolized Tom Cruise her whole life. So she's being indoctrinated, and we're seeing this happening. First of all, being interested in someone who's in that, being introduced to it, talking about it, being followed around by people, being around more and more people each day as time goes on who are involved with the cult, having her information censored or interpreted by a Scientology mentor. And then we see a minder, and then, as you said, pretty soon she's going to be cut off from everybody who's not a Scientologist, I presume.
Well, in defense of Tom Cruise, Tom doesn't know that what he's saying is just a pack of lies. He sincerely believes this rubbish.
I gotcha.
All right, I'm convinced he sincerely believes it, just as I did. I mean, I believed it. I mean, who would think that a star of this magnitude would lie to you?
Right.
And when I was 16 and 17, would I consider that an atomic physicist, a Navy war hero, mm-hmm. would lie?
It's an excellent point.
All right.
I'll tell you what. I want to take some calls here, if that's all right with you, and then
I hope to hear from Scientologists who will probably demonize me the same way that Hubbard demonizes psychiatry,
yes.
and for the same reason,
yes.
to make sure that people do not read my webpage.
And it is an astoundingly comprehensive website, folks. I usually go and check.
I'm sorry, it's not better organized. It looks much like my desk.
Well, at least it doesn't look like mine. No, it's fantastic. And that is www.lermanet.com, LERMANET.com. Arnie, we got a lot to talk about. Let's go to the phones here, folks. 1-800-313-9443. Gary in British Columbia, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry
with a G.
Gotcha, okay.
And I got another hot website for you, jerryarmstrong.org.
Okay, that's your
sort
website,
of a sister
I presume.
Ship to Arnie Lerma.
Okay. Very good. Go ahead. Did you want to say
something? I was inside the organization for 12 and a half years, worked with Hubbard. I was on board a ship in Europe and in the Caribbean with Hubbard for a number of years. I was the legal officer on board the ship, public relations officer, and intelligence officer. I did the research for Hubbard's biography before I left the organization at the end of 1981, and it was because of the research that I did of Hubbard's biography, which really debunked the man, that sprung me out of the organization. And since the end of 1981, the leaders of the cult have considered me one of their major enemies.
Oh, wonderful. Well, welcome.
Yeah.
It's good to have truth seekers on the show.
I'm really glad you're doing the show.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I definitely look forward to checking that out. Did you have anything that you wanted to broach with Arnie? I mean, some subjects that you think people need to know about, maybe some suspect things that you and he both have discovered in the course of your research?
Oh, boy. For me, it's a 23-year battle. But I would like to say that I hope that people in the media at some point begin to focus on the strategic shift which the U.S. government made in the early 1990s, which up until that time, the U.S. government and all its various agencies had really opposed the Scientology organization. Scientology, in 1977, 150 agents of the FBI raided the intelligence bureaus of Scientology in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. And out of that raid, 11 of the top Scientology intelligence personnel, including the wife of L. Ron Hubbard, were prosecuted, convicted, and sent to a federal prison. Nevertheless, although the U.S. knew that Scientology at its core is an intelligence organization and is antithetical to democracy, the U.S. government nevertheless has subsequently embraced this organization and is promoting them around the world. And that's the real problem. The government should be defending Scientology's victims, but they are defending and promoting this organization which victimizes people. Just to let you know a little bit about what they've done to me,
mm-hmm.
I have been physically assaulted by at least six Scientologists or Scientology agents. I've been pushed around. I was driven into physically with a car. I was threatened, terrorized, really, on a highway in Southern California.
Jerry, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt here briefly, and Arnie also ask you to hang on, of course.
Sure.
Folks, quick break. We'll come right back with more from our guest, Arnie Lerma. More phone calls and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us. My friends, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome to the show. Almost at the midpoint of the program here, our guest today, Arnie Lerma. Arnie, welcome back. Your website, of course, lermanet.com. And on the phone with us from British Columbia, we have Jerry with a G of jerryarmstrong.com. Jerry, you're just saying that you've been exposing Scientology as well and have been physically attacked, among other things?
Yeah. JerryArmstrong.org.
Oh, .org. I apologize.
That's okay. Yeah, it has been a war of 23 years with this organization. In fact, they have a policy, a directive, which orders that every Scientologist be at war. They are technically, in their minds, at war with what they call the WOG world. They divide the world up into Scientologists and WOGs. You and I and Arnie are WOGs, and
all
it
right.
is used as a derogatory racial term.
They really?
Believe that they have created a new race, that they are more aware, more intelligent, more able, and more ethical.
More ethical.
And, yeah.
And that WOGs, such as us, are unaware, unable, unethical, and for that reason, Scientology has the mandate to control us. And they further divide the WOG world up into really two classes, and the top or the most evil 2.5% of the WOG world Scientology calls suppressive persons. And it is Scientology's suppressive person doctrine which is the key to understanding the hold that the organization has of its members, including its celebrities, and also it is key to understanding the source of the organization's power, and it's also essential for the ultimate unraveling of Scientology. The suppressive person doctrine has to be understood. Scientology claims that this 2.5% of the planetary population who are supremely evil, people like me, people like Lerma, and people like you for putting on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Any critic of Scientology falls into this class that they call suppressive persons. And they believe that these people cannot be redeemed, that they are the only people on whom Scientology does not work. depressive persons, this 2.5% Scientology claims, are responsible for all the world's evils. All accidents, all illness, all bad conditions, all stem from evil people like me and Arnie.
Wow.
And that also gives Scientology the mandate to attack people like us. I have been sued 6 times, and they have published around the world a mountain of black propaganda about me. They indeed call it black propaganda. Their term for what they use, campaigns to destroy people's reputations and credibility.
Wow.
They have tried a number of times to have me prosecuted on false criminal charges, including in Russia and including with the FBI.
Wow.
There really is no limit to what this organization will do to harm or otherwise neutralize, or they use the word obliterate. Their policy is to obliterate people like us.
Wow.
That they deem to be suppressive persons.
Let me get you to hang on, Jerry. We'll wrap up with you after the break. We'll come right back, folks, with more from our guest, Arnie Lerma, more Frankly Speaking Radio.